Welcome to the sermon podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
We're going to have fun this holiday season. We're going to visit with our nativity scene every week and maybe learn an important lesson from them. In this week's video, Gabriel's discouraged, and I mean, he remembers the glory days, right? When angels lit up the sky and the world stopped to listen. But now the family's too busy, right? Too busy. So many things going on. Scrolling, shopping, you know, rushing through the season. The calendar's packed. Gabriel's watching them, you know, race past the nativity scene and not pay any attention to it. And we all live in that age, right? We live in an age where even our quiet times that we're spending with God come with music in the background, and our prayer time and our Bible studies get interrupted by push notifications, and Gabriel's ready to give up, right? He's ready to pack up his wings, turn in his trumpet, and be done. But then Mary, in the story, delivers that line, Jesus doesn't need a spotlight, he just needs a manger. And so today we're going to look at four ways that God works in our world and what it means for us in a world that never seems to slow down or to listen. Now, before I jump in today, I wanted to say something personal. This coming week is my second round of chemo. And so you did an incredible job the first round with your prayers. So I just wanted to ask you, I'd love for you to, I know you're praying for me all the time, but I just wanted to ask you to turn it up a notch again this week, if you don't mind. It helped a lot last time. And I appreciate being a part of a church family that deeply cares for each other and deeply cares for me. So thank you for that. So four ways God works in our world. And as Gabriel knows, one of those ways he speaks to us is we serve a God who thunders sometimes. I mean, he comes in loud, impactful ways. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 2 the story that our little nativity scene Gabriel is referring to. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So, let's set the scene. They're shepherds. They are the night watchmen of their day, taking care of the flocks. They're facing down predator animals, bandits. They sleep with rocks as pillows and eat bread that's as hard as those rocks. And they smell like they wrestle sheep for a living. And here an angel appears to these guys, and they're terrified. And it's the biggest choir of angels you've ever seen, and it lights up the sky. And here's God showing up in a no-holds-barred, can't-miss-it moment. He makes this, you know, he's making this message absolutely clear. I want you to know with no doubt. And our little video nativity scene, Gabriel, this is what he longs for, a time where everybody has to stop and pay attention. And we long for the same thing. We long for times when God proves to us beyond a shadow of a doubt. He shows us with, you know, we don't need any imagination. You know, very little faith required. God has shown up, and look what God is doing. He does something dramatic. He heals someone instantly. He saves a relationship dramatically. He provides for us miraculously. You know, something incredible has happened. And you know how, you like it when you send a text and you've got read receipts on, and so, you know, it says delivered, and then you see it says read, and you're like, oh, because they saw it and they read it. Wouldn't that be cool if that's the way prayers worked? You know, that you send a prayer to God, and then you can see on there, boom, he's read it. You know, he got the message. And the reason we want that is because it's verification. We know now. We know. And so we want things to happen in a way that we know. We want something that we can screenshot and say, look what God did. You know, we want to snap a picture of it and just and be able to show the world and go like, you see who God is? You see what he did? And sometimes God does thunder. He does do that. He does miraculous things. He shows up in ways that leave no doubt, no room for skepticism. You know, the cancer disappears, the prodigal comes home, the provision appears just in time, and we know beyond question that we serve a God who can do miracles. And think back through your story. Haven't there been moments like that? Haven't there been moments when God works in your life in a way that's so obvious that it's like a trumpet blast from heaven, right? It's the job opportunity that came out of nowhere, the relationship that was healed against all odds, the addiction that was broken in an instant. And so I encourage you, remember those things. Like, write them down. They're not just nice memories. They're fuel for your faith that helps you when there's a quieter season or when doubt creeps in. Like, I pull out those memories and we let them remind us that we serve a God who can and does thunder when he chooses to. And we don't want to just keep those thunder moments to ourselves either, do we? We want to share them with other people. We share and say, look how God intervened. Look at this dramatic story. And we share them just like the shepherds did. You know, we share those stories. They went through the whole town telling people. And we do that because sometimes the sign for someone else is something that happened to us when God showed up for us. And it's not bragging. It's not making it about us. We're bearing witness to a God who moves in powerful ways. And so God does show up like that, but I want you to remember today, and this is crucial, that God's presence and power aren't limited to fireworks. He is also the God who whispers. He's the God who whispers. And that's what Mary, I think, was referring to when she began to say to him, like, you know, he doesn't just come with a flashing chorus of angels. But for her, he came with one angel in a quiet, personal conversation. And then Joseph reminds us that, you know, for him, God showed up in a dream and spoke to him in this mystery of while I'm asleep. And then the wise men remind us that for us, it was this, you know, this star, you know. We didn't get a GPS with turn-by-turn directions. And, you know, I want to tell you something. As a father, I want to tell you something that's a generational difference that I've discovered, and that is that that we old people, we turn on our GPS with the volume on. And my kids go, turn that off. They don't want to hear it. They just want to look at it. And I'm like, you can't look at it. You're supposed to be driving. You know, anyway, it's an argument I often have when they're in the car with me. But they didn't have GPS. They didn't have somebody in their voice saying, hey, and, you know, in 3 miles, you're going to turn left at the next red light. But whether it's a star or a dream or a personal conversation or even a whisper, God doesn't need volume to prove his presence. So there's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19 that I wanted to tell you about. Here's the backstory. It's about a prophet named Elijah. And he just had a fireworks moment. And he had been in a competition with this mass group of false prophets, and he prays, and God sends fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifice and the water and everything. It's this dramatic moment, right? And now Queen Jezebel is after him to eliminate him. She was this evil woman. You always know how truly evil someone is in history when nobody ever in history again names their kids this name anymore. I mean, like, it's done. And so she's after him. And so now he's gone from this highlight moment to he's running from his life, for his life. And he's asking for God to speak to him. And he ends up in this mountain, in this cave. And he's literally telling God he just wished he was dead. Like, he actually thinks, like, it'll just be better if this was over. And he's thinking, God's going to give me another, like, I want God to show up. And he thinks God's going to show up in some big, gigantic way. Again, some obvious way. Because that's what we want. We want the moment, right? So we know, and it's undeniable. And let me read to you this. This is in 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, the Lord said, go out of the cave. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. It's like a tornado, right? But the Lord, it says, was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Now, God gives him a theology lesson wrapped up in a weather report. Basically, you know, the tornado comes through and tears the mountain apart, and he's thinking, this is it. God's about to give me a message. Not the message. Earth shakes. This is it. That's not the message. Fire then is swept through. You know, maybe in that storm that came, you know, lightning caught the forest on fire. It's not in that. And then he whispers to him. It's like God chose the gentlest form possible. A whisper so quiet. You know what happens when somebody whispers? When somebody whispers to you, if they don't have a microphone, you have to lean in. And so sometimes God whispers to us so that we lean in and he draws us closer to him. And here he is communicating with the prophet, a prophet that he has communicated with the spectacular, but now he's communicating in a whisper. So here's this invitation to listen closely. To be still enough to hear what heaven wants to say to you, what the Lord wants to say to you. And sometimes that's hard for us. I mean, there's so much going on. We live in a culture where what we do is, when we want to be heard, we turn up the volume. I mean, we turn up the volume. You got to yell. You got to make a scene, you know. And it's almost like we're trained in that. I think our world's forgotten how to whisper. Everything is operated at full volume. I mean, if you turn on the news or the weather or something like that, there's got to be something scrolling on the bottom that's in red that's going like, here's the, oh my gosh, look at what's happened. Here's the emergency. You turn on the news and it's people arguing with each other. So almost all the stuff, we got to have some demonstration, some argument, right? The weather report, it's always got to be, oh my goodness, watch out. Here's what's going to happen. Like, everything has to be turned up a notch because that they think, like, that's the only way we can get your attention is if we make it like something. And this is the culture we live in. And we need to understand that sometimes the way God wants to speak to us is just in the quiet personal conversation. And so I want to encourage you that you have to build moments of stillness into your day. We'll even say, if I ask you what prayer is, we'll say prayer is talking to God, right? Well, where does the listening come in? And so we have to make moments of stillness in our day. Even this time right here, what we're doing right now, is so odd in our culture. The act of just sitting there and listening to one person talk to you for 30 minutes, it's very different. Like, that's not what we do anymore. It's really hard. For some of us, it's even hard to, like, not pull our phone out and, like, be on it during that. Like, it's hard because that's not where we live. But we've got to build moments of stillness in our day to allow God to speak to us in sometimes the way He wants to speak to us, which is a whisper. And so maybe you take a few moments in the morning before you pick up your phone. Maybe you pause for a moment before you crank your car. Maybe you pause for a moment while you're in the shower. You just take a moment to contemplate and think in that moment and allow God to speak to you. Now, I want to warn you, if you try to pause and listen, the first thing that's going to happen is 1,000 thoughts are going to flood your brain. Because that's what's going to happen when we ever pause. And sometimes I think the reason we keep the volume up is so that we don't have to listen to our own thoughts. We don't have to listen to all the things going on. So if you turn it off, just for a little bit, if you turn it off, what you're going to have to do first is you're going to have to take that flood of thoughts and you're going to have to push them aside and push them aside and push them aside until you reach the place where you can go, okay, God, I've sat all that down. Talk to me. And in the quietness of the moment, you give room for God to speak. So lean in to the discomfort of the silence and allow God to speak to you in the spaces that sometimes we're afraid to go into. Because He's not just the God who thunders, He's also the God who whispers. Now, sometimes it's not about how He speaks, though. It's about when He speaks. He is also the God who waits. Now, I wish He wasn't the God who waits. That's kind of tough, right? Peter is writing to believers who were getting anxious because they had been with Jesus. Jesus had died. He'd resurrected. He'd left this earth. But upon doing so, He says, I'm going to come back. And so in their minds, they're thinking, well, He's going to come back, you know, in a few weeks. He's going to come back in a couple of weeks. He's going to come back in a couple of months. And now, decades had passed. And so they're kind of confused. They're getting anxious. Kind of the way we do when we're wanting a response from God and He hasn't given the response yet. And we're like, well, has He forgotten? Did He change His mind? Has He quit caring about me? Is He not listening to me? Why am I having to deal with this? Why doesn't He not just show up in some big way or even a whisper? Why He's not showing up at all? Like, where is God? Why are we having to wait? And there were false teachers who were making fun of them, the Christians, going, where is He? You know, I thought He's coming. Where is He at? I thought He was coming. You know, where is He? So that's happening, and this is what he writes to them. This is 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Like, you think He's being slow, but he's working something. And first of all, He's being patient with you. He is so patient with you and I. Now, we live in an instant gratification world, right? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, we can get almost anything we want delivered to our house in like 2 days, which is crazy, right? I'm so lazy. Perlene found this old toy that she thought, like, I think the grandbaby will like this. But, you know, it's an old toy. It's been in our house forever, and the batteries are dead. And then so we took it apart, and it needs these special little batteries. And I got two options, right? And one option is make a trip to the store and buy these little batteries. Option number two, ha! Hello, Amazon. Thank you very much. And I didn't leave my house. And a couple days later, I got, now this is crazy. I got a box like this, and, you know, for a little thing of batteries in it. But that's okay. Christmas is coming. I need some boxes, right? So, we don't have to wait for anything. We want to watch a movie? Young people, we used to have to wait and hope that sometime in the next few months a movie would come on TV, you know, so we could watch it. And then it advanced, and what we would do is we had to leave the house, go to the store, rent a movie, bring it back home, rewind it. And now, any movie you want to watch is available. Some for free, but whether it's free or not, and you have to pay $3.99 or whatever, you can be streaming it in a few seconds, and you can watch it. Wait, everything is just instant. I can talk to somebody on the other side of the world, and I can just grab my phone and tap, and boom, I can talk to somebody. We become so accustomed to these immediate responses and instant results that waiting is even harder for us than I think it has been in the past. So in our video, Gabriel is impatient. He's frustrated with the family where the nativity scene is set up. They're too distracted to notice. They got so much stuff going on. They've lost focus on what the real importance of the season is. And that can happen to any of us, and it does. But I just want you to know that God is patient with us. He's patient. Even with the distracted, with the disinterested, He doesn't give up on people, which means something to me, and it means something to those that I care about. I mean, think about your own story. I mean, how patient has God been with you, right? How long has God waited before for you? How many times has He extended invitations to you that you ignored? How many times has He been patient with your questions, with your doubts, with your detours? I mean, He's been ultimately patient with me. And then I think about the people I care about, the people I'm praying for. The people in, you know, the family members who seem spiritually uninterested. The coworker who maybe they're, you know, they don't even want to talk about spiritual things at all. They've shut that down. Or maybe there's some friend of yours and they roll their eyes when you mention something about faith. You know, is God's slowness, as Peter said, not really slowness the way we think of it? Or is it just patience? And He's patient with you and me. And He's patient with them. You know, He's working on a deeper timetable than we're working on. He has greater plans. And we see surface things. And I may have told you this story, but I'll tell you, like, so I told you this is a second round of chemo for me. So right before the first one came up, the insurance company goes, "We're not going to let them give you this immunotherapy drug. We're going to give you a different one." And clearly, and then it wasn't approved, and I was waiting. I was supposed to start on Monday, and it was Friday before they got it all resolved, and I was just, you know, in a tizzy, you know, waiting for that. And then but it got approved, and so we showed up on Monday, and they're giving me this particular chemotherapy, but this particular immunotherapy as well is what I wanted to share, and it's this particular drug. But what I didn't know is they also didn't approve the newest version of it. It's the same drug, but it's this other version of it. So the newest version is pre-mixed. It's pre-mixed, and they just put some liquid with it, and, you know, saline with it or whatever, and mix it up, and they, you know, put it in the fridge, and when you show up, they're ready and they got it. The one I got, it's not pre-mixed. It comes in the powder, and they have to mix it, and then they have to further dilute it, and because they have to do all that, they have to wait till you get there, and it has to be mixed within 30 minutes of when they give it to you, and it takes longer. It takes like 2 hours longer to get it for them to do it because it's more liquid in it. And it's the same medicine, it's just a different format. And so the way we found out is we're sitting there and they're giving it to us and they're joking with each other, we hadn't given this to anybody in 2 years. And they're joking like, we had to blow the dust off of it, like that nativity scene, you know, because it's been sitting on the back shelf. Nobody gets this anymore. Now, I know what you think. Like, what we do is we sit there and go, that insurance company, right? They're denying me. They're taking that away from me. And now they're not even giving me the new stuff. They're giving me the old stuff. And you know why. We all know why. It's money, right? They're saving money, right? Now, I really want to ask you a question. Who's in charge? Is it the insurance company? No, in that moment, I'll tell you what I thought. I thought, God's in charge. He knows me. He knows Jim's an old soul. He needs that old stuff in there. I know his body. I made him. I crafted him. I know which one will work the best. Plus, there's about 500 people like yanking my chain about him, right? Praying for him, going like, I hope this goes well for my pastor, right? And so you got to understand that God even cares about the label on the chemo bag. It's not the insurance company. Don't get upset. It's not the doctor's off track or they're not doing whatever. You know, I mean, is the doctor wrong? Is the insurance company wrong? Or is God just in charge? See, sometimes you just have to understand that it's not God's not being slow. He's patiently crafting and doing what God does. You have to trust in the goodness of God. Delay is not denial. It's divine patience. What if God is using the waiting time to prepare you for the answer? I mean, look, if he answered all our prayers instantly, we wouldn't grow in our faith. We wouldn't learn to trust him. Our faithfulness in the waiting is part of how God works. Now, it's not just about how he speaks to us, and it's not just about when he speaks to us. It's about the fact that he comes near to us to be with us. Because he's also the God who dwells. He's the God who dwells. So, John 1:14, and I apologize, I think your handout says John 1:4. That was my fault. I left the one off when I gave it to you. But John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He made his dwelling among us. And when John wrote that about Jesus, he used this word that literally means tabernacled. Now, that's a weird word, and it's not accidental, though. The tabernacle is a deliberate reference to the Old Testament tabernacle, which was this portable tent that signified God's presence living among his people while they wandered through the wilderness. And so, here's John telling us that when Jesus came, he tabernacled among us. He dwelt among us. He came to be with us right where we are and be with us. And here's this beautiful, ironic thing that God could have chosen a palace or a throne room or a temple, but he chooses a feeding trough to enter into the world. Now, we live in a culture that is obsessed with status and exclusivity and VIP sections and premium memberships and first class accommodations, and the higher up you can go, the better, right? The more exclusive your experiences become. And here's Christmas, and it turns all that upside down. The most important birth in human history happened in the most ordinary place to the most ordinary people, in the most accessible way possible. So in the video, Mary reminds us, Jesus doesn't need a spotlight, he only needs a manger. It gets to the heart of what Christmas really means. Like, God chose to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's not God God above us. It's not a God apart from us. It's not God is only available to some of us. It's God with us. The manger is the great equalizer. You look at the nativity scene, and there's rich and there's poor alike. There's educated and illiterate that could both understand his message. God didn't come with prerequisites. He didn't come with entrance requirements. He came with arms wide open, and here he is for all of us. Now, what does that mean to you and me? It means he's perfectly comfortable in my kitchen and in my car or in my cubicle. Will you invite Jesus into the everyday spaces of your life? Not just church, but on your commute, in your classroom, in your appointment, during your chores. You don't have to clean up to invite him into all those places either. You know, when I was a kid growing up, if you did something in the house that was whatever, like you left the door open or you left something laying around, your parents would look at you and go, "What's wrong with you? You weren't born in a barn." Did anybody ever hear that? You weren't born in a barn. Hey, guess what? Jesus was born in a barn. Right? He's not afraid of your mess. He chose a manger. He can handle your Monday morning. He can handle your difficult relationships. He can handle your imperfect attempts at faith. He can handle it because he specializes in ordinary places and ordinary people. So we began this morning with Gabriel frustrated. No one's listening. But the truth of Christmas is that whether God thunders or whether he whispers, whether he moves quickly or whether he moves patiently, whether he dwells in a palace or dwells in a manger, he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Not far from us. Not God annoyed with us. Not God waiting for us to get our act together. None of those names fit him. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. So maybe this season is the joy of family gatherings for you, or maybe it's the loneliness of empty chairs. There are times when life feels full, and there are times when life feels empty. There are times when life feels light, and there are times when life feels heavy. There's moments of celebration, and there's moments of struggle. The truth is that God is with us. And that's the message of Christmas. That's the hope of the ages. That's the good news. And it still breaks through. It still changes hearts. And it still transforms lives. So when we sing this morning, we're going to worship together. And we're going to sing of the goodness of God. And as we sing of the goodness of God, I want you to understand that sometimes God might thunder. But be still and also listen, because sometimes God wants to whisper. And sometimes God's going to step in right now, and sometimes God's going to make you wait a little bit because he's patient. And he's weaving and crafting his story with you. But he is always God with us. So would you stand with me and bow your heads, and I'd like to pray for you this morning before we sing. Father, I pray that you would help us to hear you. And it might be in a trumpet blast that shakes our souls, and it might be in a whisper, though. Lord, keep us from being so distracted by the things around us, especially the noises of the season, that we miss your presence. And especially your presence in the ordinary things. And so as we enter this holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, help us to live in such a way that we're not just remembering that you came long ago, but but we're aware that you're here. You're in our home. You're in our school. You're at our work. You're in our world. You're in our heart. Give us eyes to see you. Give us ears to hear you. And give us a desire to make room for you in our schedule, in our hearts, and in our lives. In the name of Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.